I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Kick off the final hour of the program. Howard Beck's going to join us coming up here in a moment from Sports Illustrated. We'll chat with him about the current landscape of the NBA as we're cruising towards All-Star break and All-Star game festivities here in Salt Lake City. Fired up. And it's going to be a lot of fun to have the All-Star game here.
Can't believe it's finally back, and we're getting so close to this All-Star weekend and really week just kicking off here in the state. How much it impacts a community. It really is going to be a fantastic time for everybody.
30 years between All-Star games. John and Carl were co-MVPs of that game back in the old Delta Center, and now it's going to be the Delta Center again coming up here in the summer. Joining us now, senior writer from Sports Illustrated, Howard Beck, also the co-host of the Crossover Podcast. Howard, how you doing, man?
Hey, Howard.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
I don't know what the overall appetite is for people on the national scene to come to Salt Lake City for an All-Star game, but it's coming up. And from Ryan Smith, I know that they're going to try to do it right here. But what is the vibe of people coming to Salt Lake for the All-Star game?
I mean, I can't speak for anyone but myself, but it's been a while since I've been there. You know, I stopped covering teams as a beat writer, right? Like, I covered the Lakers for 7 years, the Knicks for 9 years, and so then I got off that merry-go-round, and so there's a lot of cities that I just haven't seen in about 10 years, and Salt Lake is one of them. So I'm looking forward to coming back. I'm going to, don't tell my bosses, but I'm going to build a ski trip into it because I've never skied in Utah, and I'm looking forward to that, and I'm going to bring my daughter out to do that. So I'm looking forward to it. I don't, you know, the All-Star weekend's All-Star weekend. I'll go to it wherever they put it. I've seen a lot of them. I've covered a lot of them. I'm a little jaded on that side of it, but yeah. I'm really looking forward to your snow. So,
well, I will say this, Howard. You know, Hans and I are pretty morally flexible, so if you need somebody to fudge some receipts on some expense reports, we're happy to help out any way we can.
I appreciate that. I might hit you up.
Yeah, we'll do whatever we can. Hey, Howard, for our listeners that are about to experience this All-Star weekend, I want you to kind of give them an idea of what they're going to be taking part in and some of the different opportunities that come around that All-Star week.
Well, I'll tell you this much. Downtown Salt Lake will probably be a bit of a madhouse. It's interesting because it also often depends on the city and partially that city's, you know, own engineering, civil engineering, traffic patterns and whatever, but smaller towns tend to feel like it's swallowed up. Like, I remember in Charlotte, a few years back, maybe 4 years back, 4 or 5 years, And all of downtown Charlotte, it felt like, was just an NBA city unto itself, with a lot of streets blocked off and all that. So if you're not participating or coming to see anything NBA-related, you might want to just avoid it altogether, because it can be, you know, a little overwhelming. And like I say, a lot of streets blocked off and all that. But it's fun, and it's, you know, it's festive. And the NBA does an incredible job of putting on these events. Since I've always been there as, you know, a reporter working, I don't see a lot of the public stuff. I know that they do have the fan fest type stuff, usually in a convention center or whatever, where you can go and there's players will be there putting on clinics and making appearances and signing autographs and that kind of stuff. And I know there's a whole other, you know, like, you know, thing for kids and everything that you can do. Not something I've ever been involved in, because I'm usually working. So,
Hey, is, in your opinion, is Lauri Markkanen an all-star?
Listen, I haven't done the math, right? Like, I'm part of the media panel that voted on the starters. He did not make my starting five, although he was definitely in consideration. I had like one front court spot left. He was one of the guys I considered for it. Ultimately did not vote him on as a starter. The coaches will pick the reserves, as they often, or as they always do, and those are due, ballots are due next Monday, as I understand it. I have not done the math, but I cannot fathom that he won't make it. I gotta believe that he'll be on there. You know, you've got seven reserves, and, you know, it goes the same deal, three front court, two guards, and then two wild card spots. And it's a funky year in the West, because everybody's, you know, it's the standings are tight and there's no real dominant teams. And so I don't think a lot of teams are going to get two guys, and there's been a lot of injuries. You know, guys like Zion and Anthony Davis might just fall out entirely because of their long injury absences. So that helps Markkanen. So I think he'll probably make it. You know, again, I have not done the full exercise down through 12. I only had to do the starting five myself, but I think coaches will probably reward him.
Would you be willing to give us your starting five, East and West?
Yeah, so in the West, LeBron and Jokic were locks for me in the front court, and it came down to Markkanen versus Zion versus Sabonis for the final spot. I ultimately went with Sabonis for a variety of reasons, not least of which is that the Kings are having an incredible season, you know, top three team in the West. And, you know, there was, you know, De'Aaron Fox wasn't going to make it as a starter. I assume he's, you know, again, another guy who will get strong consideration from the coaches on the reserves. So that was my front court, Sabonis, Jokic, and LeBron. The back court in the West, I went Curry and Doncic. Steph obviously has missed a bunch of games, but he's Steph Curry. Come on. Like, he's still, you know, the best point guard. So that was the West. The East, my backcourt was Donovan Mitchell and Jaylen Brown. The front court was tough. The front court, Jason Tatum was a lock. He's an MVP candidate. Kevin Durant, though he's missed time recently, it's not that big of a chunk yet. And at the time we had to file our ballots on Friday, he'd only missed like five games. And Durant, again, played at MVP caliber level this season. So he was, to me, a lock. So it came down to Embiid and Giannis for that third front court spot, which is just an impossible thing, right? Like, leaving off either of them seems ludicrous. Leaving off Tatum or Durant would have felt ludicrous. But the math is what it is. And, you know, whoever's not making it is going to get there as a reserve anyway. I ultimately went Embiid over Giannis, as difficult as that was. The Bucks have kind of plateaued and been playing at more of a 500 level for over a month. The Sixers have been surging. Embiid is shooting better than Giannis from three, from the foul line. His effective field goal percentage and true shooting percentages are both higher. He's just having a better season than Giannis by a couple of hairs right now. So that's where I came down.
So the recent twist to all of this is the fact that now the captains will be picking right before the game. Do you like the change on how these rosters are put together?
Yeah, I love it. You know, the NBA has been tinkering with this or innovating on this for the last several years. First with going with captains and having the captains, you know, picking the teams and mixing up the East and West. That's been fun. Having them pick on national TV was kind of fun because, you know, you had the TNT studio involved. and you know, you had, you know, just some funny little jabs going back and forth and some shade being thrown and some jokes all throughout. But I think everybody liked the idea that, you know what, if they're going to do it this way, make it like a playground where you're just out on the court picking guys in real time with the players themselves standing there. And so I love it. Like, it's great theater. You know, I mean, look, the All-Star game is not really a game. It's just pure entertainment and pure spectacle. Nobody plays defense. Nobody really cares if they win or not. None of this is that serious. So, you know, lean into it and you know, make it every aspect of it as entertaining as possible, including picking the team. So yeah, I'm absolutely on board with them picking live.
Well, Howard, we're getting so close to this trade deadline, and obviously things have really heated up here in Salt Lake with this Jazz team. So many great pieces and a lot of tradable pieces. Give us two or three names off this Jazz roster that you've maybe seen circulate and maybe some validity to the potential trade of two or three of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say right now, guys, to be honest. You know, there's always a lot of misdirection, and, you know, the Jazz were certainly early in the season and the off season, you know, after they made the moves that they made, were certainly trying to convey the sense that, oh, no, we're not eager to tear this down. We're not tanking. You know, we like the guys we got. We like all that's fine. There's some truth to it. But the bottom line is, especially when Danny Ainge is at the top of that that flow chart, there's no sentimentality. And, you know, he's already shipped out the two franchise centerpieces. Anybody who's not glued to the floor is potentially in play. And who's the most likely? It's just going to depend on what kind of offers are out there. And I think early in the season, when the Jazz were overachieving, and I think it's fair to call it that, and that's a compliment, not an insult, but it made it feel like, well, maybe they're more likely to stick with this group and let it keep going. But, you know, they, I think, have somewhat predictably come back to the pack and maybe sunk a little bit further than back to the pack. And the West is really competitive, and some of the teams that are in their range should on paper be better than them. And so I think they could slip a couple more spots even without trading away any key pieces. So, you know, who goes, who stays? It's just going to depend on, you know, market forces and cap considerations. Like Mike Conley is still a great guy to have at point guard. His knowledge of the game, his entire makeup, his character, his shooting, his defense, like everything. Like he's, you know, he's not the same guy he was 10 years ago in Memphis, but Mike Conley, a bunch of teams could use Mike Conley. But his salary is at a level where it's really hard to make a trade that matches salary matching rules, right? So it's things like that that come into play. Like if Mike Conley was making half of what he's making, he might have already been traded by now to a team that could really use a point guard. The usual names you've heard, like Olynyk and Beasley, and I know that, you know, they really love Jordan Clarkson out there, but if somebody comes along with the right price for Jordan Clarkson, I could see that happening too. Like, I really don't think anybody on a team at this stage can be considered untouchable. And by this stage, I mean they're in some sort of rebuild, tear down, whatever, transition. And, you know, even Markkanen, like, I'm not predicting Markkanen's going to go. I'm not, you know, saying that this is, you know, going anywhere. I'm just, to me, Markkanen's value has never been higher. And so if what you're really doing is trying to build toward a horizon that's 3 years out, you know, I wouldn't consider him untouchable either, because he's never been more valuable. And you have to decide whether or not you consider him to be a true foundational player after, you know, several years in Chicago and then Cleveland of being, you know, good to pretty good. He's never been this guy before. So you have to determine how real you think this is, how sustainable you think it is, and whether he's a guy that you can truly build around.
So when the monster trade went down with Minnesota and the Rudy Gobert trade, and we're back here in Salt Lake City and we're looking at all the draft picks and win the years and the draft swaps and all that stuff, and then we also go, oh, and there's also this first-round pick, Walker Kessler, he got thrown in the mix, and we're like, okay, yeah, whatever. But holy smokes, this kid is really, really good. What's the buzz about him across the league, and just what's the ceiling on this guy? Because right now he's playing out of his mind as a rookie.
Yeah, listen, I'm not a draft nick, so, you know, I always wait till these guys get to the league to really get to see, you know, who they are, what they're about. I had to, you see, so the honest truth is he was not on my radar at all at the time of the trade. To me, it was just another name on that very long list of assets they picked up. The buzz around the league is that there's buzz. Like, the buzz around the league is like, do they already have a better center than the one that they traded away? Now, that's obviously a little bit of exaggeration, but Gobert obviously has struggled in his new environment. The Timberwolves have struggled, period. And, you know, I don't think anybody saw this coming from Walker Kessler. You ask about ceiling. I don't know even how to answer that at this stage. You know, for a guy who was picked late in the first round with not a lot of hype surrounding him, it's a remarkable splash that he's made. It looks like he's going to have a very long, nice NBA career. What the ceiling on that is, I couldn't tell you. I assume we'll see him in the whatever the Rising Stars game, whatever they're calling it these days, on Friday night at All-Star Weekend. And I think he's, at this point, a lock for one of the all-rookie teams, probably all-rookie first team. And again, you know, a team at this stage does not have anybody who's untouchable or anybody who you consider foundational. But they've obviously picked up a really nice young player who's on his rookie deal, so he'll, you know, be cheap by NBA standards for a few years. I would assume he's a keeper. Again, unless there's some great deal out there.
So, how are the Utah Jazz play Portland tonight? Portland and on a back-to-back here at Vivint Arena. And Scotty and I were discussing Damian Lillard, a local college product. Obviously, this state loves the guy, and he's been so loyal to Portland. We were just looking at the numbers and what the situation is with him in Portland. What is the future for Damian Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers?
Wow. You know, so Chris Mannix, my co-host on the Crossover Pod, and I had this discussion for the podcast that that episode should be up sometime today. And, you know, we have a little bit of a difference of opinion here, but it is puzzling, you know, the way that the Blazers have operated over the last several years. And even for Dame himself, like I admire the loyalty to Portland. I admire his sense just duty, I guess, or just, you know, loyalty, however you want to call it, which is quaint by today's NBA standards, right? Like, there's not a lot of that going around. So I admire that he wants to stay there. But he's also a guy who is an all-time great. He made the 75th anniversary team. He, you know, is an incredible player who is late in his career, who had a really tough injury last year, and he's come back phenomenally, is playing at an all-NBA caliber level again. But it's just hard to see, you know, where this goes for Portland. Like, how are they going to build this thing up to the point where he could truly contend for a title? And, you know, look, not everybody can. You know, you guys know better than anybody. You had Karl Malone and John Stockton for all those years, an incredible tandem who did great things in this league and made a couple finals but never could win the championship. You know, not every great player is going to get there, and it's okay. It doesn't, you know, I don't think it degrades their careers. Even though we do live in a world of rings culture where people kind of place that kind of value on it. So maybe Dame has that kind of career. Maybe it's a Karl Malone, Reggie Miller, Patrick Ewing kind of career that he has, and we'll still always remember him as one of the greats to play the game. But maybe it's without not just hardware, but without enough of a postseason resume. And he's had plenty. He's had plenty of playoff games, just not deep playoff games and not a finals appearance yet. I don't think they're ever going to trade him unless he actually gets to the point himself where he says it's time to go. And I understand that too. If you know, are the front office, if you're the ownership of that team, this is the best player in franchise history and incredibly popular for all the best reasons, not just his play, but he's a great character guy, a great community guy. And so you don't trade him unless you have to, and have to means he's come to you and said, I want to go. And if he never gets to that point, you know, my co-host Chris Mannix would say proactively you trade him anyway because you can set yourself up for years to come with the return package. But, you know, you got to deal with everything else that comes with that. There's ticket sales to consider. There's how the fans feel and the relationship that the fans have to your franchise star. It's complicated. It's tough. But they're in a weird position right now. They've got some decent players, solid starting five, but not enough bench depth. And, you know, they're said to be more in a buyer than seller mode right now. I don't know where that gets them because there's a lot of teams to try to climb over.
So I'm asking you to project here a little bit, but Jordan Clarkson has a player option next year at $14 million. Obviously, he'll decline that and test out in terms of what he can get per, you know, for years and for dollars. But is he a $20 million a year guy, Jordan Clarkson? I think the Jazz probably would like to get him at 18, but to keep him, I'm sure they'll have to overpay a little bit to keep him in Salt Lake City. But what do you think a contract on the open market in this summer for Jordan Clarkson looks like?
It's hard to tell because we're in this weird space where, first of all, you know, the salary cap has gone so high that, you know, it used to be, you know, $20 million a year player meant, you know, a star or superstar, not just a great sixth man or you know, a good role player. And the cap is going to keep going up because there's a new TV contract on the horizon, you know, a couple of years from now. And so when teams are signing contracts with players and they're sometimes signing, you know, like even the Knicks signing Jalen Brunson to that $100 million deal last summer, there was, you know, all this discussion of, well, are they overpaying a little? Is that okay? Well, part of the exercise is, you know, that in a couple of years, the salary cap is going to jump again. And as a percentage of the cap, these contracts aren't going to look as bad. Is Clarkson a $20 million a year player? I mean, in today's NBA economy, probably. Will there be a demand for a guy who is versatile and an explosive scorer and can pretty much plug in any lineup? Yeah, there'll be plenty of you know, demand out there for him. But I haven't looked that far ahead. You know, how many teams have cap room? Which teams? Are they teams that would be in need of a Jordan Clarkson? But, you know, that again, that is part of the case for why you consider trading him, because, you know, he might leave anyway.
Well, we certainly appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. Hope to see you here in Salt Lake City here in a couple of weeks, and safe travels.
Great stuff, Howard. Thank you.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Howard Beck, longtime NBA writer, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports.
A lot of good insight.
Yep.
A lot of good stuff. If you didn't hear that whole thing, you're going to want to go back and listen to it. You can find it at kslsports.com. Lloyd will have it posted after he's done cussing.
Oh man, this is
the fans will forever just get just they'll just get
what? You did not just dump that.
Rewind that.
I did. It was.
Rewind that. Oh, I want that beeped out.
I meant to say
I want that beeped out.
Yes. Okay, Lloyd. Okay.
There you go.
Respect.
That's fair. Now you need to follow Hans on Twitter.
Respect.
Hey, you said you weren't getting involved, so don't do that, Scotty.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter. I'll follow you right back. That was respect.
B, no, you know what you need to do. Make it right.
Oh, man, that makes me so happy, though. Oh, that makes me happy.
You said it twice. That's crazy.
Guys are a bunch of piranhas.
You said it twice.
Oh, no, you're King Piranha. Calm down.
I didn't say it twice. No, I said something different, but I made it sound like it sounded. I said it twice.
Well, you have offended me.
The first time was like,
I am very offended. I could not believe you reached over and dumped it, too.
What, you want to be taken off the air?
You want me to lose my job? Scotty and I.
What?
No, that's usually I have to throw a pin at him, but eventually he does get it done.
The fans will forever just get just they'll just get.
What did you say? What?
You did not just dump that.
Rewind that.
I did. It was.
Rewind that. Oh, I want that beeped out.
I meant to say
I want that beeped out.
Jeez, Scotty.
Oh, man.
So happy. Oh, man, that's a good day. That's a good day.
We're just leaving open air. Play it again. Play it as many times as you want, Lloyd. It's just nice to hear.
Just imagine Hans and I said it and then replay it about the same amount of times.
That way.
Just imagine it wasn't you, it was us.
Oh, that's not what happens. We played your guys' stuff like one time and then it gets forgotten.
Oh, that's not true at all. How many times have I talked about shirts on a table and it gets replayed over and over
and over again? A lot.
Or I talk about Fox Hollow Golf Course and it gets played over and over and over.
A ton.
Or Hans, say Bleep Hollow. It's like, geez, man.
And Hans makes it sound like a pig man and it gets played over and over and over again.
Yeah. It's frustrating. But at least he played it, Scotty. I'm glad that at least we got to hear it back. That's nice.
Yep. There we go. All right, joining us now, Mark from Wasatch Medical. And Mark, I know that if there's guys out there struggling in the bedroom, they don't want the pill, they certainly don't want needles and surgery, and they want an end date. They want to go through a procedure that will get this squared away and not have to worry about it again. And you can provide that, and by the way, pain-free at Wasatch Medical.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's very important. It is pain-free. And what we're talking about here, guys, is ED and treating the root cause of ED at Wasatch Medical Clinic. We have a breakthrough technology called acoustic wave therapy, which helps to repair and open up damaged blood vessels. This is a non-invasive procedure. There are no needles. There is no pain. There are no side effects. And there is no downtime either. So this is a great option for you guys who want the spontaneity back into your relationship.
801-901-8000. That's the number to call, and you get to meet with a physician.
Yes, absolutely. So call that number right now. We will set you up with the exam, the assessment, and the blood flow ultrasound by our doctor, all at no cost. This is absolutely free. In addition to that, a gift which can produce rapid results for those intimate moments, and that's one, guys, you will really like. Call today, though, guys. Keep in mind, this is a physical problem. ED is a physical problem in most cases. It is a lack of blood flow. It is not going to get better on its own. Call Wasatch Medical Clinic. The number, 801-901-8000. Again, 801-901-8000.
801-901-8000 right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined now by Tom McMillan, Lead One CEO.
We talk to coaches and they tell us things crazy, out of control, those types of words with the transfer and the NIL. It's certainly something that they say. What can be done to put them under control while still allowing the principles of giving as much freedom to the student athlete as possible?
It takes a real crisis sometimes for Congress to act. I have heard from senators and congressmen that they're concerned there's more awareness of this on the Hill. There's a more ripe environment, if you will, to legislate on the NIL front and to try to bring a national standard to it to make sure that it's not a recruiting inducement or a transfer inducement, but legitimate NIL. I'm optimistic that something can get done in the next year or so.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
The wheel is loaded, and it's time to talk some sports. This is Sports Roulette with Hanson Scotty, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hey, you're a Disney World nut, aren't you? I mean, you go not World, but Disneyland.
Well, yeah, I like all those parks. Yeah, I really do.
By the way, my son was just, he was on a school trip, went down to Disneyland and went on that new Star Wars ride.
Yeah.
And he was showing me, he took some pictures and video of his on his cell phone, and I know you hate Star Wars. You also hate Harry Potter, but you're a big Harry Potter world fan.
Yes, I love Harry Potter world. Yes.
I think you would like that Star Wars. That thing looked really impressive.
Well, I don't know anything about it. They built a whole land about it, or?
Yeah, yeah. And there's apparently some pretty cool rides. So I know you do like amusement parks. And from what I understand, that thing is pretty awesome. So I think next time you go down there, you'll dig it.
Where's it at?
At Disneyland.
Oh, like in the actual Disneyland park, or they built a separate park?
That's a great question.
Is it part of Legoland?
No. Yes.
No, Legoland.
Just next to Wally World.
Looney Tunes was in Disneyland. That Looney Tunes land, it was okay when it opened, but man, it flopped and failed. What a terrible place. That's a waste of 45 minutes. Don't even.
But my son was on Splash Mountain. He said that they're shutting it down. And I just looked up, and yes, CNN's got a story about how Splash Mountain is now getting shut down.
They do school field trips now to like Disneyland?
It was part of some, some orchestra thing he was a part of. I don't know.
Well, I know Splash Mountain, Scotty, I know that they are actually going to redo it. It's not going to be Briar Rabbit anymore.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's the
last one. But he said he went on Splash Mountain. He goes, yeah, they said it was like one of the last days that they're going to have it because they're shutting it down.
Well, I would have never believed it. Not in a million years. If you told me, Hans, you got to go to Harry Potter World. I stumbled into it and was blown away by it and loved the architecture of it and just fascinated by the whole thing. I just would have never thought that that'd be the case. But I'll give the Star Wars thing a try.
Yeah, I don't know what part of the park it's in or if it's its own thing. But
it's the same with that Avatar World that I told you I just went to a month ago or 2 months ago. That Avatar World was incredible. And I'm not exactly Avatar guy, but they built that inside of that Animal Kingdom part of Disney World in Florida.
And that's the Florida one?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and it's awesome. Hey, the other thing I wanted to mention before we spin the wheel, I'm going to give you my two starters on the villain list. These are my two starters. And I've played one, and you've played one in 60 seconds of cinema. Number one, John Doe.
Ah, yes.
From Seven.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
That's got to be probably number one on everybody's
list. That is such a good one.
Number two?
Oh, you're going to go Annie.
Annie Wilkes.
Yeah.
How did we forget John Doe and Annie Wilkes?
Okay, John Doe, yes. Annie, you're just bringing it up because you wanted to make fun of me, and that's fine.
It's not true.
You don't really. Had I not been coerced into portraying her in 60 or 1 minute of cinema, that I don't think that this would have happened.
Oh, man. I know that, Mr. Man. I'm not stupid, you know.
Was that Scotty or was that Annie?
Okay.
That was cold-blooded. That's what that was.
Oh, and they never ran away.
Which, by the way, you and I have to do 60 seconds or 1 minute of, was it Christmas Vacation that won it? Because remember, we agreed that we would do the 1 minute of cinema to the winner of the Christmas bracket.
I have no recollection of this.
Lloyd?
Is this true?
I do recall this. I feel like that's something we discussed.
All we need is for Scotty to do the Merry Christmas, where's the Tylenol? Just that whole rant. I'll come in, I'll say, Mister, if you were my kid, I'd beat you with a rubber hose. And then you go on your rant.
I thought you made me like, Grace! Grace!
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Grace has been dead for years.
The blessing.
All right. Lloyd, fire up that wheel.
Is Beasley a part of the All-Star Weekend?
You seeing some of this stuff? Utah Jazz account announced that, or sent out a tweet. Let me just pull this tweet up. It says, M. Beasley anytime, any place, as long as that place is the three-point contest at NBA All-Star Weekend. Are they just making a push for it? Is that what they're doing with this, Scotty?
I'm sure, but it wouldn't surprise me at all to see this happen. Because one thing that the NBA does is, look, they want to get people excited about their team's players being, you know, their home team players being involved in All-Star. So, yeah, there's going to be it's certainly going to get a longer look for sure. And guys are going to get more opportunities. So, yeah, I would plan on seeing that. Yes, I have not. And by the way, that's me speculating, but I think if there's smoke there, then there's definitely fire.
Well, the video that they put out on the tweet is Malik dropping threes in Sugar House Park and a bunch of other places. Looks like he went back to his high school court, his college court, and he's dropping half-court shots and threes. And the video that the Utah Jazz Twitter account just put out is just Malik shooting a bunch of threes, and all it says is MBZ anytime, any place, as long as that place is the three-point contest at NBA All-Star Weekend. So I'd love to see it. It'd be fun to see him be a part of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely would. All right, Lloyd, spin it.
Stupid sports facts for 500.
So, Scotty, did you know we could see a Super Bowl first if the Eagles and the Chiefs...
Yeah, I know where you're going here.
...make it to the Super Bowl? It will be the first time ever that a set of brothers played against each other in the Super Bowl with Travis and Jason Kelce. It's never happened.
Offensive linemen versus tight end, so they would never actually see each other on the field at the same time, which is bummed. You know, would bum me out. But yeah, and by the way, they host a podcast together. You know that?
No, I did not know that.
It gets a little blue too.
In fact, I was a little bit shocked because I didn't put those pieces together, and when I saw the stat, I was like, oh, that makes sense. But I did not realize that they were brothers. Both of them fantastic in what they do. You said the podcast gets a little blue?
Yeah, I've not listened to it a lot. There's been some clips that has floated out there, and yeah, they let it fly a little bit. They get after it.
Just any topic, anytime kind of thing? Or?
Any topic, anytime. Kind of Lloyd Cole language is used.
The fans will forever just get just
So it's like if Lloyd Cole, Christian Cox, Sam Farnsworth, and Jeremiah Jensen ran a podcast.
And Scott Gerard.
Oh, boy.
If it is, I'll show you who hit.
Oh, boy. And we don't by chance have the Jeremiah Jensen one, do we?
Oh, we've got to find it. We got to find that one.
I mean, it is on that that one hard drive that I'm trying to get put back together, but we do have it.
The time Derek Favors took a shift behind the McDonald's cash register.
Yeah, we have that.
Even you saying that makes me nervous.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. All right, Lloyd, spin it.
Nothing like bad blood in the gentleman's sport.
You following this story between Rory McIlroy and Patrick Reed at all?
Oh, that's what you were getting at. Yeah, this is interesting.
It's very interesting. So Rory McIlroy's just had it with Patrick Reed. I didn't realize...
Who hasn't?
Yeah, I didn't realize, though, Lloyd, Patrick Reed had issued a subpoena to McIlroy. Let's see. I'm just going back. So McIlroy was served a subpoena by Reed's lawyers on Christmas Eve. There are no specifics about the subpoena, but he was served the subpoena on Christmas Eve by Reed's lawyers. Anyways, Patrick Reed sought Rory McIlroy out on the range, and so he wandered over to go talk to him. They're at the Dubai Desert Classic, and Rory McIlroy just totally cold-shouldered him, blew him off. Wouldn't shake his hand, wouldn't acknowledge him. So Patrick Reed took a Live Tour tee. And obviously, it's twofold. McIlroy hates him because of the Live Tour, and he hates him because he was served the subpoena. And Patrick Reed took a Live Tour tee and flipped it at Rory. Now, Rory claims he didn't feel it hit him, but Rory's caddy saw it, and Patrick Reed admitted to it. And the whole thing, it's just fun because in the world of golf, this stuff is so unacceptable. It is so against bro code in the world of golf. But this is what Rory said. He said about the subpoena and what's happening. Of course, trying to have a nice time with my family and somehow they show up on my doorstep and deliver the subpoena. You're not going to take that well. So again, I'm living a reality. I don't know where he's living. If I were in his shoes, I wouldn't expect a hello or a handshake.
I got subpoenaed on Christmas Eve, we're done. We're done for like ever.
Yeah.
I don't care what you say. You interrupt my Christmas dinner, my Christmas Eve dinner.
No, not happening. No. He also said, Patrick did come up to say hello, and I really didn't want him to. So now Patrick Reed has responded, and he said, I went to say hello. Rory just looked down there and was messing with his trackman and kind of deciding to ignore us. We all knew where it came from, being part of the Live. Since my tee is a Team 4 Ace Live tee, I flicked one at him. It was kind of funny, a shot back. Funny how a small little flick has turned into basically me stabbing him and throwing a tee at him. He saw me. He decided not to react. It's unfortunate because we've always had a good relationship, but it's one of those things. If you're going to act like an immature little child, then you might as well be treated like one. The words back and forth are the best.
But McIlroy said, Patrick did come up to me, as you mentioned, and I didn't really want to talk to him.
Yeah.
And then he goes, but I will say this. If the roles were reversed and I'd thrown a tee at him, I'd be expecting him to file another lawsuit.
That's actually a good shot.
Yeah.
That's a good shot right there. I love it because anytime you get a little competitiveness going, something outside of the game of golf, in the world of golf, I love it.
Jeez, it's ridiculous. I know. It's funny because, look, you usually don't see this stuff in golf. But now, you had the Brooksy and that situation blow up, and now this one. It's kind of good for the game a little bit.
It is.
Makes these guys look like actual human beings instead of just, bunch of robots.
They need to now do a kind of like a Ryder Cup, but a Live Tour versus PGA Tour. Because those guys, they hate each other now.
Oh, I'm with you.
Like, turn it into like a Ryder Cup thing, like Live versus PGA.
I'm telling you, in the future, I hope something comes of it. And they kind of say, hey, winner takes all, pink slips on the line. We'll give up our tour, you give up your tour. But one of us is gone. Yeah, I would love it. It would never happen, but I would love to see it. But now that the Live Tour is on the CW, Patrick Reed must be thinking, hey, Rory, tell me how my blank tastes.
Whoa. Yeah. Jeez, man.
What's a Shaquille O'Neal reference?
Lloyd's going to beep that.
The fans will forever just get they'll just get shitted.
I've got the play button here in front of me, Scotty.
You really need to stop playing that. It's not even funny anymore. Just knock it off.
I finally got hold of the play button.
We'll wrap this thing up next. Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
It's time to talk some Utah Jazz basketball with the coach, Coach Tim Lacombe.
Give me your thoughts on Colin. I know you just said he was a game changer, but what is his ideal role going forward? Just what are your thoughts on him?
I'm saying he changes the game from a pace perspective. It's his ability to really get wherever he wants to get on the floor. He does a great job of that. I think over time, it's just a matter of him learning the nuance. It's a great thing when you have to slow a guy down. It's a hard thing when you have to speed him up. So you've got that working for you. Now it's just a matter of making reads. I think he can be a guy who, like Clarkson's been, comes into the game off the bench, brings you a crazy amount of energy defensively, pushes the pace on the offensive side. And if he can become a little better shooter and a better decision maker, that role's there to be had. I think that could be his.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. In podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.
All right, wrapping up another edition of the show. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Utah State, San Diego State coming up tonight. Jazz, Trailblazers as well. We'll have the Utah State game on 1280, Jazz game on 97.5 FM late night for the Utah State. Won't start till 9 o'clock. Pregame is at 8:30. But good night of basketball, Hans. Should be a fun one.
It will be a fun one. And, you know, the Utah State game, it really should be a really good, a nice competitive game. I don't know what to think of this Jazz-Portland game. I know Portland just got the win over San Antonio, but it took a Herculean effort from Damian Lillard to do it. And I know that he's capable of doing that on back-to-back nights if necessary, but he had 37 points, 12 assists, and played 31 minutes on the court last night. And now he's got to come here to Vivint Arena, and it's going to be a tough, really tough matchup for him. And he's going to have to really press. Nurkic was incredible as well. 10 of 14 from the field, Scotty. He had 25 points and 11 rebounds. But at the very least, I'm excited to watch the matchup of Walker Kessler and Nurk, because I think that's one of those matchups David Locke was talking about. Yusuf Nurkic is a very powerful, very experienced, very athletic and hungry big. So it should be a really good matchup tonight against Walker Kessler.
Yeah, and I think the question is, you know, these guys, like these dudes play in college ball. I mean, they play a 31-32 game regular season. You add a few games in the conference tournament, and then maybe a game or two in the NCAA tournament. So these guys aren't used to playing more than 35, 36 games a year, and they can hit a wall. And I think it's going to be interesting to see if Walker Kessler hits that wall and how he can power through it. I mean, you talk all the time about, you know, you play 11, 12-game season in college football, and all of a sudden you hit that moment when you play 12 games and you look up, and you got to play four more games or five more games. Yeah. In college or in the NFL, and I think you said that was a bit of a wake up call for you.
Big time. Big time. It is such an adjustment, a very difficult adjustment. And we'll see if that has some effect. But excited for these basketball games tonight. Make sure you turn your TVs on, turn your radios on. You can catch it all right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. It's gonna be a fun night.
All right. Mark's hanging out with us from Wasatch Medical. Mark, we've been talking to you throughout the day, but now's the time to call 801-901-8000 if you're struggling in the bedroom. Wasatch Medical has an alternative that's going to get you back on track.
Absolutely. And guys just have to decide they want to do something about this. Guys also have to realize that ED is a physical problem. It's not their fault. It is a lack of blood flow in most cases, and it is not going to repair itself. So call Wasatch Medical Clinic today. And we have a breakthrough technology called acoustic wave therapy, which actually treats the root cause of ED, which again is a lack of blood flow. The pills only really treat the symptoms. They give you a temporary increase in blood flow. The nice thing about acoustic wave therapy is we help to repair those blood vessels, and we do it without any pain, without any side effects, and without any downtime. Most guys going to need just several treatments over the course of a 2 to 3 week period. Those treatments last about 15 minutes each. That's it.
801-901-8000. Call that number right now and get set up with that assessment. You get to talk to a physician, test the blood flow, and see exactly where you're at.
Yeah, and you get the assessment, the exam, the blood flow ultrasound, all at no cost. And we're going to throw in a special gift, which can produce rapid results for those intimate moments. But, guys, you really need to call right now. The number, 801-901-8000. Again, 801-901-8000.
Mark, we appreciate it. 801-901-8000. Call that number right now. Hans, back at it tomorrow. We'll break down some NFL championship games. We'll break down, obviously, a big night of basketball. Busy show coming up tomorrow, man.
Yep, we'll see you then. Have a good call tonight.
I appreciate it. Hans and Scotty, Unrivaled next, right here on The Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.